I'm glad for Easter. Last Christmas, B said to me, we need to go see Becky. I said, I'd like to go, but I'm not able. You know, I've been sick for a long while. And I finally said, if you could drive 50 miles, I'd try to drive 100. It's 1,210 miles from my yard to hers. And I drove a little ways, and I laid down in the back seat, and I got up and drove 1,170 miles. After 600 miles that first day, I said, B, the power of God is on me.
Glory.
I said, I'm no worse for driving 600 miles. I preached in three churches while I was there and drove 1,210 miles back. Through the rain and the fog and the ice and the wrecks. The power of God is holding me, Bob. It hadn't been on me for a long while, but the Lord has helped me. The Lord has helped me.
Glory.
It's a good thing I didn't tell Bobby. I backed away on being down there. Got in them tornadoes and stuff where they was right in front of me and got over to Atlanta and got tied up to three more hours over there. It's a good thing I didn't tell you I'd be there because I couldn't have got there anyway. God knows what he's doing. I'm glad for the Lord. He's real. Amen.
Amen.
And he don't need me this morning. But I'm glad to get to make it back to Richlands and be amongst more of my friends. Some of you have lost people since I've been here, and I look around and I miss some that I knew was here when I drove up in this yard 30 years ago or better. And Mama Horton said, children, it's Brother Moore. He's here. Mother Horton said that. Just tore me all to pieces. I drove a long ways in that old rattle-trap car and finally got here, and when I got on the ground, it was a little more than that. She said, whoo, children, it's Brother Moore.
That's
he's
right.
got here.
That's what she said.
Lord have mercy. That tore me up. I love that. Let's have a good time. He's not dead. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not dead. Hallelujah. I'm going to interview the Lord a little bit this morning. It'll be a little different. I didn't try to make it different, but I just do different. And don't do so good sometime, but you'll deserve better than I'll do. But I'll do what I can, while I'm here. If we'll just do what we can, while we can, before we can't, we'll do well. Amen.
Amen.
Do what you can, while you can, before you can't. We have a lot of people worrying about things they'll never be able to do anyway.
All right, now.
Just get with what you can do and do that right, and God will help you. He'll help you. All right. It's so good to see so many friends and so many things on the mind. But I'm going to talk on a simple thought this morning, the only kind I ever use. It's found in Matthew 27:35, and they crucified him. That word crucify means to put to death by nailing hands and feet to a cross. They crucified him. I'm going to do a little interview this morning. I'm going to ask him some questions and let him answer for us. And maybe it'll be a help to you this morning. But I want to say to you again, he's not dead. He's not dead. He's not dead. Came to me in the middle of the night and asked me, did I love him, three times while I was sick. Never told me to heal me, just said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's what lots of people would like to hear from others this morning. Amen. I tell you, just tear some old dad up if his boy just called and say, Dad, I love you.
Amen.
That'd make his day. He wouldn't have to have nothing else. I want to ask him, who are you? Matthew 16:13, if you'd like to read with me, we're going to read this morning, Matthew 16:13, and if it'll help you, we'll try. 16th chapter, 13th verse. And I've asked him a question, who are you? Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They say, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Who are ye? I moved upon Matthew to write and tell you that I am the Son of God. I still the tempest upon the sea. I walked upon the waves. I cleansed the lepers from their spots. I opened up the graves.
Amen.
Some said that I was a prophet when they saw the works that I'd done. But the Bible plainly tells you that I am God's only son. Who are you? Folks want to know who people are. Who is this man?
Yes.
Who's holding that meeting? I'm going to talk to you about who he is this morning. Who are you? Why did you come? Luke 19:10. Run with me if you want to. Let's run with this Bible this morning. Luke 19:10. Who are you? 19th chapter, 10th verse. Why did you come? Son of man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That's why I came. I came to seek and save that which was lost. I'm a soul saver. Without a special, without a song, without an amen, without a warm building, I come to seek and save that which was lost.
Come on out.
That's why I came. I came to seek and save. I came to give my life a ransom for many.
Right,
that's what I meant to do when I came. That's why I came. How can we believe you? Let's look at John, 10th chapter, 36th verse. How can we believe you? John 10:36. Say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Believe because of the works that I do. How can we believe you? Believe because of the works that I do.
Come on now.
There ain't nobody been here before that walked on the water.
No, sir. No,
there's
sir.
Nobody been here before that stopped funeral possessions and commanded the dead to live. There's never been nobody here that stood at the mouth of the grave and said, come forth. And they got up and walked out. And nobody been here. Look, if I didn't believe for any other reason than you this morning, Jesus, it'd be because of the works you do.
Glory.
Take the vilest of a sinner. Save him and cleanse him and break him from all his filthy habits in one trip, praying to me. If you don't believe for any other reason, believe because of the works that I do. Let's look at Luke. We're having a study this morning. Not just preaching, but we're going to study this morning. We're asking Jesus. We're interviewing the Lord this morning. I'm asking him, how can we believe you? Look at Luke 7:19. John calling unto him two of his disciples sent him to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? In that hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues. If you don't believe for no other reason, believe because of the works that I do. If I hadn't seen them, it wouldn't have made no difference to me. I'm asking the Lord. How can we believe you? If I hadn't seen his works, it wouldn't have made no difference. Ben can build buildings and build churches and get crowds, but if it wasn't for the works he does with men and among men and women, boys and girls, I'd have never believed it. It was different, and it still is. And we're asking him that. And in Luke 7:19, he's talking. In that hour he did, in the 21st verse, many infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, people was healed. Unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said to them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard.
Yes, sir.
How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. How can we believe you? Believe because of the works that I do. Amen.
All right now.
Praise God. All right. How can we believe you? Did God send you? Let's look at John 5:30. John 5:30. Did God send you? 5th chapter of John and the 30th verse. You got your Bible this morning? If you don't have, I'm reading for you. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Did God send you? The Father sent me. That's what he's answering me. My Father sent me. God sent me. I pastored a church, and I told them that Jesus was with God before he came here. They had never heard that. They didn't know that he had been with God before he came here. He was with God before he came here.
All right.
And the Father sent him. And we asked him, did God send you? How old are you? I've asked the Lord this morning. I was praying before I came here, and this is different, I know, but it seemed like the Lord dealt with me to run a little interview with him. How old are you? In John 17 and 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 8 and 56. Look at it if you'd like to. John 8, 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And that made him so mad they took up stones and wanted to kill him. Before Abraham was, I am. How old are you? I don't know how old he is, but I'm reading to you what he moved upon John to tell us about him. And before Abraham was, he was. Before your grandpa put his foot on the ground, he was here. He was in the world. I mean, he was with God. I believe when they made the world. How old are you? Did others know you were coming? In Genesis 3:15, we know it's a scripture, third chapter, Genesis 15th verse. The Bible said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy. I know of maybe been mother before, but I believe that's first a prophecy of Christ to come. Did others know you were coming? Yes, son. David did. Isaiah did.
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah did. Ezekiel did. Daniel did. Micah did. Haggai knew it. Zechariah knew it. Malachi knew it. In Isaiah 7, and 14. I want to read to you from the book of Isaiah, 7th chapter, 14th verse. We're asking him, did others know you were coming? Isaiah 9 and 6. I gave you the 7th chapter. 9th chapter, 6th verse. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah knew it, and Isaiah talked about it. In 9 and 6, he prophesied and said, a child would be born. And in the 7th chapter and the 16th verse, he said again, before the child shall know to refuse evil and good and choose the land, that abhorrest and shall be forsaken of her kings. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Yes, others knew I would come. And they talked about it. And they prophesied about it. Was it your father's will? Jesus, was it your Father's will that you come? Look at Matthew 26, chapter 38th verse. Was it your Father's will? 38th verse. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. It was God's will. It was God's will that he came. It was God's will that he come. It was God's will that he be killed. And we saw it in Isaiah, and we asked Jesus the question again, why are they killing you? Why are they killing you? And he showed me, he took me to Isaiah 53. And here it is, the third verse of Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. As I asked the Lord, he seemed to say, that's talking about me. That's talking about me, and that's why they're killing me. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's why I'm dying. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's why they're killing me. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. The praise of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall his righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I said, Jesus, why are they killing you? Isaiah told you why they're killing me.
Come on,
amen.
Come on,
he said, they take it not from me. I lay it down of myself, for I have power to lay it down,
yes, sir,
and take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Nobody else has ever been here that could lay his own life down and take his own life back up again. God bless you this morning. It's Easter, and we'll have Easter all day. And I hope by sundown, and by the time I lay my head up on a pillow tonight, if God will let me, that I will have said or done something this day that will glorify the name of the Son of God. That's all that's important to me. Why did they kill you? Why, Jesus, did Judas betray you for 30 pieces of silver? He seemed to say to me, I moved upon my servant Zechariah to tell you about that. And so we're going to look at Zechariah, the 11th chapter and the 12th verse. 11th chapter, 12th verse, book of Zechariah. A little lesson this morning. We're interviewing the Lord. They like to interview people in this world. I don't do that, but I felt like that this Easter I would interview the Lord a little while. The book of Zechariah, 11th chapter and the 12th verse. Why did Judas betray you for 30 pieces of silver? And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. I've read of a lot of deals, and I've heard of a lot of deals. Made some deals myself, and you have too. But this deal, this 30 pieces of silver business, that deal's went down in history, and more men have talked about that money swap than any that I've ever heard of.
Yes, sir.
30 pieces of silver, 30 shackles of shame was the price paid for Jesus on the cross. He was slain. Why did Judas sell you for 30 pieces? Because my Father moved upon Zechariah to say hundreds of years before it happened that it would happen.
Yes,
that's the reason why. Amen. And I said unto them, give me my price. So they weighed me 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 piece of silver and cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. You know what he's telling you, don't you? That's what Judas did with it when he brought it back and sold it down. And they said, it's the price of blood, and we can't put it in the treasure. We'll just buy that piece of land right over there and bury the poor folks in it. That's the reason they sold me for 30 pieces of silver. Why didn't you say more, Jesus, before Pilate? Why didn't you say more when you were before him?
Listen.
Isaiah told you why I didn't. I stood as a lamb before the slaughter, opened not his mouth. There was nothing I could say that would change the event, and it was too late to argue. It was time to give my life. That's the reason I stood silent before Pilate, and said nothing that day that his wife sent word and said, "Have thou nothing to do with this man? I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Folks, he's alive this morning.
Come on now. Yeah.
I feel the presence of God upon me.
Come on.
I've had it on me now for days since he went to work on my body. And I do appreciate it, but he's not dead. He stood at the foot of a friend of mine's bed when they lay bad, bad sick. He never said one word. All he did was look. All he did was look. He healed immediately by the power of God. I stilled the tempest upon the sea. I walked upon the waves. I cleansed the lepers from their spots. I opened up the grave. Some said that I was a prophet when they saw the work that I'd done. But the Bible plainly tells you I am God's only son. Why, Jesus? Why? Why did they gamble over your garments? I moved upon David of old to tell you why. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Psalms, in the 18th verse. "And they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." He must have been wearing some mighty expensive clothes. Nobody in the country had ever seen anything like it. And they all decided that they better gamble over it, see which one could get it. No. No. It wasn't that his garment was so beautiful and everyone desired one like it. But he's God's only son. And he's prophesied to David that they'd gamble over his garments. They can't keep from it. You know, men amaze me as they fulfill God's Bible just like God said it had happened in the end time. It is happening now. And you can't change God's Bible. I've heard them talk about this trouble we in over in the East and wonder why. Why, it's no mystery to me why. It's where God said in his word that he'd direct the attention of the human family to in the end time. A little piece of real estate no bigger than the state of Texas, and focus the attention of the whole inhabited world on it every day on the news or in the paper. We're reading about it. I wondered as a young preacher how it could ever be until I found they discovered oil under Libya in 1951. And I began to say then, those folks' per capita income $6 and $8 a year with a bunch of goats. God put enough oil under that to draw the attention of the whole world. And even now, great readers and great studiers say they think now that the oil even seeped to the top of the ground at Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's the reason they saw smoke rising up. They said, it's all on fire.
Oh, God.
Great God, you couldn't get a water well for getting oil. They tried it. Why, they couldn't, son. They couldn't get water for getting oil over there. Why? So God could fulfill his word like he did with Jesus and bring the teaching of the world on that part of the world in the end time. What's going to happen, Brother Moore? Well, if you think it's over, forget it. If you think we fixed it all, forget it. This is LD talking to you. Amen. Just forget it. We ain't fixed it yet. Anytime you get between two Arabs or the Jew and the Arab, you're in trouble for years and years.
Yeah, buddy.
Lord God, they can take a sheep bone or the jawbone of an ass and have a war with it.
Oh, no.
I thought this all dead and gone, all wiped out, and they're pouring out of the crevices and out of the mountains and out of the sand dunes, and they're all into it between the sails now.
Yeah.
Thousands are running one way and thousands are running another way. I tell you what, we're going to have an Armageddon after a while. Great God, have mercy. Did you know that vultures have been seen eating meat off of bodies where our troops are right now? Vultures have been seen eating meat off of bones where our soldiers are right now. The Desert Storm area. My son's got a television. I tell you, I never was as hard against him as I am now. The filthy, violence promoting mess.
Come on.
Help me, Lord. I'm going to preach on Jesus here. I'm interviewing him, but I've got off on this right here, right now. Have mercy. My little 6-year-old grandson said, "Grandpa, them commercials is yucky."
Yeah.
10-year-old granddaughter said, "Grandpa, it's horrible. Why in the world can't Mom and Daddy understand that?"
Preach it. Preach on now.
Built this buggerish, crime-promoting evil thing that ever fell upon the eyes of the human family.
You're preaching right.
seen a vulture. My son said, Dad, I seen a big black vulture sitting picking on bones of them Arabs' bones or some of them precious people's bones over there. I'm making fun of Arabs. You understand me? But what do you mean by that, Brother Moore? Come, ye vultures, come all the fowls of the earth to the great supper of the Almighty God. They will come. Birds alight and peck meat off a bone. There'll be so many dead people before that we get completely out of this mess.
I know
by the Bible these old bones. I couldn't do that last year, did you? These old bones are going to rise again. These old bones are going to rise again. Talking about the resurrection Christ this morning.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
Why did they gamble over your clothes? I told David to write it down. They're going to gamble over my clothes. People are going to do what God said. You know it. Hello, Terry. God love you. There ain't a way in the world men can keep from doing what God said do. Amen?
All right now.
We got some smart elders down in Oklahoma said, I'll tell you what, I'll never be back. One of them come to preach a friend of mine holding a Bible, and he said, I'll tell you what, said, I won't be back. He got mad at the preacher. I don't blame folks getting mad at preachers sometimes. You know, preachers is a mess, you know, but he got mad at the preacher and said, I won't be back. He said, you will too, and you'll bring me groceries before I close the meeting. Woo! And he did. And he did. Now, you pardon me for running, honey. I ain't been able to do it.
Yes, sir! Hallelujah! Yes, sir!
Why did they gamble over your clothes, Jesus? Because I meant for them to.
Yes, sir! Hallelujah! Come on.
Did you ever hear of anybody else being killed, put in jail, or... It's an accident, and it's obviously happened to anybody. Why ain't that happened to nobody else? Only person ever heard of the gamble over the clothes. Jesus Christ. Poorest man in the whole country. Didn't own a mule. Didn't own a stick of furniture. Never had a house. Break up a pile of leaves for a pillow and sleep in the darkness on the mountainside. Amen.
Amen.
How nobody cooked for him. Eat his breakfast off fig tree. Bob come in town. Stopped, he's hungry. Nobody offered breakfast for him, I reckon. And he stopped fig tree and couldn't find nothing on it. He's hungry. He ain't eating some figs for breakfast. Woo!
Hallelujah!
There's never been a man like Jesus. There's never been a man like Jesus.
Come on now.
Never been a man like Jesus. He rolled my burden away.
He did it.
He got the job done. We like old... What's that general's name over there we've got over there? Big old general, they're running for president next. If you don't watch it, they'll sink his boat too. You know. What's his name? Schwarzkopf. I can't hardly say that.
Say that, Bob.
Schwarzkopf. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Never been a man like Jesus. Never heard such praying going on all my life. They call them all over the United States to prayer. All the drunkards went to prayer. All the beer girls and the party throwers went to prayer. Now we've got so far from God, we want to give them all free beer for a year and make alcoholics out of them and build institutions trying to get them back to the self now. What a bunch of hypocrites.
Come on, you're preaching right.
There's never been a man like Jesus come to Virginia. Glory to God. Build a church on a flat rock. Have revival without a song leader. Stir the whole country up. Have a full snagger tooth boy cannot pronounce his name. Ain't never been nobody like Jesus. Who sent you? Jesus did. Jesus did. Well, what college did you go to? College? What's that? I'm not bragging on ignorance, but I'm just saying there's never been a man like Jesus. Come down by the seaside. Two old boys are fishing out there. It's about that way with me. I was aiming to be a professional boxer. You didn't know that, did you? I was aiming to be a... What's Jack Dempsey called? They called him what's he? Had a name for him. Old Jack had dynamite in his right hand. You know, Minneapolis Mall is what they called him. And I was aiming to be better than him. I was aiming to have a better left than Joe Louis had. Fastest left as ever known. Man couldn't open his mouth, have his left fist in it four or five times. Never could hit him because he always had his left right in his face all the time, getting him ready for his right.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
There's been some mighty men walk through here
and do some mighty things. There ain't never been nobody like Jesus. Call a bunch of ignorant boys like me out of Oklahoma to go into the world and preach the gospel. Put him on an airplane. Lord, I never did think I'd do anything but fly a kite. Hallelujah. Lord, I was sitting on an airplane the other day with an old boy traveling on the airplane. Okay, out of Oklahoma. Only I gave him because he saved me and called me and sent me.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
Sitting on the plane and pulled my watch out. The old boy sitting next to me said, I guess it's the appearance of it. It don't look too, costly, does it, son? Get the job done, though. I want to say you don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm just a converted sinner.
Yeah.
It's all because
Come
of Jesus
on,
Christ that I'm on this plane.
On,
I never thought I'd be able to get on an airplane, go nowhere. When I got a bicycle and rode it down the store, I thought that's the limit right there.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What are you doing on this plane, LD? Jesus Christ saved me and sent me to preach the gospel to get folks saved.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, there's never been a man like Jesus. Matthew 27:35 fulfilled what David said. 27th chapter of Matthew, 35th verse, fulfilled what David said. And he crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among him, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. That's why they gambled over my clothes, because it was prophesied they would. Not the only prophet that's been fulfilled, but that's one of them, and we're headed into a bunch more pretty quick now.
Brother.
We're right down to it, children. Amen. We're down to it. All right, I don't want to get off into very much else, but it's Easter. This is the morning when he went down to tomb to take a few sweet-smelling spices so they could pay honor and respect to him, you know. I wouldn't care if they went to my tomb to find me and I was up and out and gone. I wouldn't mind. They'd have to go hunt me. Said, where's he at? We buried him yesterday, but we can't find him this morning. Whew!
Come on,
I don't know what y'all wish I could be here and hear you this morning. If I didn't have to go down yonder, I'd stay here and listen to you. I can tell right now you studied on it. It's in your bones. I can see it in there.
Great
God, there never was a man like it.
Hallelujah.
I'll cause girls to get up and sing. Can't hardly carry a tune. Stir the whole country with them. Because I'm Jesus. And I'm sent from God. And I'm older than the moon.
Glory.
I'm older than the sun.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask him. I was pretty near afraid to. How did you come into existence? Seemed like I could hear him say, you read where my father took the dust of the ground and made a man out of it, didn't you? Seemed like I could hear, I'm preaching on interviewing Jesus this morning. That's all I'm talking about. Seemed like I could hear him say, you can make things that look exactly like a man. You have made things that look exactly, you, the human family, you've made things look exactly like a man. You have museums that just look in there at them. You think old Elvis is just going to get up and walk out. You've even made them so they can move their facial features in a record playing and look like they're talking to you all the time and they're dead. There's not a bit of life in the world. But you can do that. You can make trees that look like real. Make them surreal. An old boy in my church I had one time, he knew it all about church work. He knew when to start and when to stop and how long to preach and whether it was any good or not. And all. He knew it all about it. Found that out. One day we bought some artificial plants like them up yonder, like them over here. They're surreal that he marched up and said, well, I'll tell you the only trouble, stuff like that, you have to keep it watered to keep it alive. He said, that stuff's, and I said, I'll tell you, put stuff like in a church that somebody won't see about it and it'll die. I said, oh, ha, ha. Oh, ha, ha. I won't say, ha, ha, devil.
Yeah, come on,
man. I ain't talking about the man, I'm talking about the devil that uses men, you know, he. No, that was artificial. We can make them look surreal. The sunset looks just like the real sunset. Bees got flowers sitting around the house. It just looked like you ought to reach on and smell them. They're surreal. He seemed to say to me, you can do things like that. You can make things that look real, look like they'd breathe and walk and talk. Make an old chalk dog or an old green frog just look like a walk. It ought to make a big sound. You know, so you can do that. Seem like I won't ask him. How did you come into existence? You remember when my father made Adam? He breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Like that. Somewhere in God's great time, or before time, all the way to become a son is be created or born. So he had to be somewhere back under. God created a son. He called him Jesus. And he sent him here to save people. Had talked in the glory where with him and said, would you go? He said, I'll go. My father sent me. I come to do his will and not mine. He said, let him whip you. He beat me like Isaiah said. He led the cat of nine tails on my back. And they scorched me. I did it because my father wanted me to do it. Well, you're talking about interviewing Jesus this morning. I've got to walk, son. My left leg's getting better. I may go back to old-time fire brand preaching. My wife told me 30 years ago, when we married 45 years ago, about that, somewhere in there. And she said, you need to slow down. Said, you preach too hard. Said, you're going to kill yourself. I love that girl, but I'm going to tell you, there's just been 65 roll crossed and 47 years of it. And I'm getting better instead of worse, I believe now. I mean, physically. I couldn't fool with that much. He didn't seem to want to talk to me too much about that. And I asked him again, did you fail to rot in the grave because you were begotten of the Holy Ghost? Your body didn't rot, but you're different than anyone else. You were begotten of the Holy Ghost. Some said, he looks like a Jew. I said, he didn't look nothing like a Jew. Somebody said he favored Joseph. I said, he didn't look nothing like Joseph. Somebody said, he's Myers boy. I said, he's God's only son.
Preach it now. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Mary never did have no blood in her veins like his blood. Joseph never did have no blood in his veins like his blood.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
I don't even believe he cried at night. Not this baby. That's the reason the colored folks down home sang, Mary and the baby, sweet lamb. Mary and the baby, sweet lamb. Mary and the baby, sweet lamb, sang it for about 30 minutes and the whole bunch shouts.
Yeah.
Just Mary and the baby, sweet lamb. R.J. Roberts had 16 children. I ate with them. Looked like all the kinfolks had come, but nobody but his children and married children. Big old long table, long Smith piano nearly. Lined up both sides, just his family. That's all. We didn't have room for no company. Couldn't invite nobody for dinner. If you did, you had to rent the Waldorf Astoria lobby or something. I mean, you couldn't have dinner, but not, that's just their folks and me. The last baby they had was crying. Mama shook it, Daddy shook it, and they passed it to every child. Let me have that little thing. Before it's over, I want to say, hand me that sweet ball of honey. Let me see if I can't do something with it. Never was a baby like Jesus. He's a little child at home, and they got in need. He supplied the need. Mary put it down. Mary put that down. And when he went to the first wedding we ever have any record of him going to, did his first miracle. When he needed something, his mama spoke up and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I learned that back home. She pondered these things, the Bible said. I learned that back down at the house. We got into it, and that little boy worked them miracles. I kept it to myself. I said, he's different. Somebody's teaching a doctrine that he didn't have no physical brothers. Brother Moore don't believe that. Don't argue about it. I don't fuss nobody about it. But his brother James and Joseph and the other children, they come to see him one day with his mama outside and his brother and sent in his blood brothers. Well, that's what the world called them. They wasn't blood brothers. They was not blood brothers because he's God's only son. Amen? I said, did you fail to rot in the grave because you was begotten of the Holy Ghost and you couldn't rot? No. He said, look at what Matthew told you about it. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, in the 51st verse. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. God's only Son! The earth never did shake and the rocks never did bust for nobody else. The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which left arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection went into the holy city and appeared to many.
Amen.
No, I didn't fail to rot because I was begotten of the Holy Ghost, and those others that weren't begotten of the Holy Ghost that was in the grave, when my presence went into the grave, it vibrated the earth so till it shook and the rocks busted, and many bodies of the saints got up and walked into town. Fellow riding his mule down the road said, whoa, that looks just like the old boy we buried 3 months ago. That looks just like the man that lived up the road, that wife and 4 children up there. That looks like him walking. Back under. Here he comes, I'll watch him. That's him. I'm either losing my marbles, losing my mind, or that's him. I was at his funeral and I helped him bury him. He's that peculiar fella that talked about Jesus all the time. Run you crazy with it. Couldn't eat without praying to him. I was out in the yard the other day and the Spirit come on me again. Lord said, raise your hand. I've been a little slow at that. I've been better at that at church.
Amen now.
God said to me, raise your hand and praise me. I've helped you. I don't care what the neighbor thinks. It don't matter no more what it thinks, honey. I said, I'm going to worship God. So I got to go around the yard a big part of the time now. Just get me out. Seem like get my breath better. Seem like open me up more. Try it. It'll open your lungs up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless you. Praise God.
Good morning. Woo! In the floor. Cold cucumber. Oh, what's happened to Mama? She's fainted. Dad, come here. Hello. Oh! What's happened to Dad? Said he's out too. Oh! Oh, 21-year-old boy shook his head round out of the bedroom. That's it, old boy. Dad's pallbearer's funeral a few days ago. It's one of them Christians we buried right out in the graveyard. Stands at the door. Don't be afraid, children. Jesus Christ has been crucified. They put him in the grave when he did. His power come upon me and raised me from the dead and told me to come here and visit y'all a while. What went with them? You figure that out. Where'd they go, Jimmy? Where'd all them go to resurrect from dead? Can't die no more once he gets the supper over with. He ain't gonna die no more. Thanks for your car. He ain't gonna die no more when he gets us out. That's over. Don't worry about supper no more. That's the end of it. Where'd they go? He said, ain't the book interesting? Where'd all them go that raised up out of the grave and went into town and appeared to many? They weren't begging for a living, no. They didn't have to eat no more unless they wanted to.
Right.
Could if they wanted to, but they don't have to. Whew. How long are we supposed to interview the Lord this morning, Bob? What time are we supposed to eat? I don't want to mess nothing up here. But I'm just getting started on this, and I can't keep from running because I've got better. I may call my preaching this country this time may be the running preaching. I wish B is here to see me. I ain't cut up like this since I got better. That's the truth, honey. Well, God knows it so.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
No, I didn't fail to rot because I've gotten the Holy Ghost. The power of God was upon me. And that's what caused them saints to get. Well, they may have went back with him then. Maybe I'll try to live. They probably went back with him when he finally went on back. Because they didn't die no more. And they already got the eternal life. And if they didn't go back, they're over there somewhere in Palestine now. Been witnessing for hundreds and thousands of years. Maybe a few of them over here preaching. But they probably went on back with it, wouldn't they? You can't stay in the grave if he gets close to you.
That's right now.
You can't stay in the grave even. Lord, I said, what's going to happen to the rest of it? What's going to happen? He said, someday. All that are in the graves. Everybody that's in the grave.
Yes, sir.
The whole bunch. Laid there till trees that big around go to pull. and nobody knows where they're at. All that's in the graves will hear his voice and shall come forth on that great getting up morning.
Fire you well.
Fire you well. On that great getting up morning, fire you well.
Fire you well.
On that great getting up morning.
Fire you well.
Goodbye, old world, I'm gone.
Fire you well.
I'm going to deal with more of this tonight if I live in the Lord's power. Come upon me. I'm awful slow to help you this morning, but if His Spirit, we're going to preach more about Him all day. I know it's customary to preach more this morning, but I'm going to take care of some of that while on that grave being empty and Him coming out. But I'm doing an interview, and I better stay closer to my interview. And could you tell me, Jesus, why it was dark? Why it was dark from 9 to 12, from the 6th hour to the 9th hour? And He seemed to deal with me. You read that from Matthew 27 and 45. Now from the 6th hour there was darkness over all the land to the 9th hour. By the 9th hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard said, this man called for Elisha. Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. And somebody said, well, I mean, I said, Jesus, why did you do that? It was prophesied that you would. I wasn't thirsty for vinegar. I wasn't thirsty to drink vinegar. But that the word of our God shall be fulfilled, that's the reason they did it.
Amen.
Gave him vinegar because, you know, some things God wants us to go through, children. It's not pleasant, but it'll be the best for us before it's over. It'll be the best for us. And I asked him that question. Why was it dark? Darkness from 9 till 12. He seemed to say to me, it was the darkest hour that the world has ever known. They crucified me, the Son of God. It was so hard on my Heavenly Father, He couldn't look at it. The sun couldn't shine on it. And darkness. Looks like folks that woke up, well, we've got a Son of God here that's willing to die and prophesied He will die. And is going to die for the sins of the world. That's the reason I was never sent to preach. He can't save you. I was never sent to preach. There ain't no hope. I was never sent to preach. If you prayed and couldn't get an answer, you're probably too late to get one. I wasn't sent to preach that. I'm sent to say He can save. I'm sent to say He can answer. I'm sent to say you can if you will.
Hallelujah.
I'm sent to say He wants to help you. Amen. Because He's got it fixed so He can. Do that if you feel like it. Loosen your lungs up. Woo! Ain't no harm
Hallelujah.
In that. Ain't no harm in that. Oh, I know some folks don't believe in it, but I seen a fella went to see a giraffe, and I didn't just meet the first man, but they told about it, and he went to see and told his wife, said, now, you know there ain't no such animal. He'd never seen one before, and he said, you know there ain't no such animal. But there it stood. You may not believe in it, but it'll help you a little.
Yeah.
Last time I was here, I went up these steps like that because that's the only way I could go up. That's the truth. I fell on that leg time and again. I fell on that. Got out in the yard working on my car, and both my legs gave way. Fell over on my back in the yard. I laid there laugh, right, but I didn't want nobody to see me. I couldn't get up. I couldn't get my chassis up. I couldn't even get up. Lay there on my back and laugh. Oh, God, I said, if you don't help me, I ain't going to be able to get up off the ground like I never got up. When I did, I just, my leg wouldn't work. Well, there never was a man like Jesus. He never was a man like Jesus. He never was a man like Jesus. He rolled my burden away. Never been nobody like him. When I got saved, He saved me, cleansed me, and washed me up, and cleaned me up, and I needed it bad. Lord, God help us. Such a filthy mess. He finally got me all straightened out and washed up and cleaned up. I met an old boyfriend. He said, I said, what are you doing, bootlegging? He said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's when it was illegal in Oklahoma, but it wasn't legal to get drunk down there then like it is now. You know, if they legalized open liquor and everything, that makes it all right. Huh? We're getting awful close to God now. We've learned to control things.
Yeah.
The way you control premarital sex is to pass out things at school to prevent disease. Does that prevent disease? No, absolutely not. More AIDS and more filth than we've ever had. And the church's mouth is closing down on it in a lot of places, listen, saying nothing about it, right, because we turn it over to educators to run it. And without Jesus, they ain't going to run it. It ain't going to help nothing. We're going to have God. It's going to get worse. I don't want to get out of order, but I'm preaching on Christ this morning, and I've interviewed him a little, and he's down with me. Let's move up a little closer to him. I said, are you bootlegging? He said, yeah. And it was illegal, but you could get away with it, because the police parked right outside the building where I worked, and Sammy Coots bootlegged liquor out of it and got his calls over our telephone. And they had hit Sammy and tell him, now, Sammy, we're going to hit you in a week now. Don't let us catch you empty. Won't look good on us if we catch you empty. And he'd pull out there to make a delivery and have an open fifth in there, three or four fifths, and they'd, and he'd stop him. Sammy Coots come out in the paper, arrested for bootlegging. That's all he'd ever done all his life. And the police parked their car right outside of his, beside our building. We took the calls over our phone for his sales of liquor. They prosecuted him, though. Of course, the judge dismissed the fine because he bought it off of Sammy himself. Brother Moore, you mean? No, I'm just telling you like it is. We need Jesus this morning, just like we always did. He said, what are you doing, L.D.? I said, preaching. Preaching. Don't tell no Rusty's gone to preaching. Don't tell me the crooked sold 20, 30, and 40 weight oil out of the same drum from 10 to 30 cents a quart has gone to preaching. What happened to me? Jesus Christ washed me in his blood and straightened me out. I've got to hurry. I don't want you to miss your breakfast. This could be more interesting. Jesus, did they realize they had crucified the Son of God when they killed you? Yes. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly and saying, truly, this was the Son of God. We've killed the Son of God. We've killed the Son of God. Truly, they saw that earthquake. I pastored California for a couple of churches. I've been there when the land rolls like it's like water. Them earthquake can hit that land, that old land will just buckle and just roll. Old mother out there saved right good, had Jesus in her heart, and makes me want to ask him, Lord, why did she do like she done? And he just seems to say, he does like all my children do when my spirit moves on them. I'll do the same way. You may think a Baptist wouldn't do it. They will do it. All the saved Baptists will raise their hand if they thank the Lord. They'll do it. All the saved Methodists are raised a hand to thank the Lord. They'll do it. Well, I come from a day when the Baptists shouted and danced in the aisles. I had five of them dancing in the aisle in my meeting one night. Went into Baptist community and held revival. And they said, what is that holiness preacher doing in here? We don't need him. We just had revival and 20-some got saved. I told them they all backslid between that meeting and mine because they looked like they was. And acted like they was. And I asked them to try to get back to God. They said you couldn't be saved, lost after you saved. Put me in a pickle. I tried to finally had to tell them, well, then you didn't get saved. You need to get saved. They couldn't understand it. Great meeting. My car broke down. We shook peanuts all day. Get on the ground, shake them peanuts, get the dirt off them, and go right up your nostrils, you know. You've got later equipment now. And walked in the snow because the car broke down. Walked 2 miles to schoolhouse, built a fire in a wood stove every night. Holding it up. They didn't want us and told us they didn't. But they come anyhow, and they pack the building out. Once preaching God's Bible, be careful when you preach anything else, it'll get you in a jam.
Yeah,
and you can't get out of it either. You get yourself putting your mouth on something you don't know anything about, you better talk about something you know something about. Amen? You know, I've heard some fellows say some texts, and I've tried a few myself that got away from me. I said, my God, have mercy, I don't know nothing about that. A fellow asked me the other day, bless his heart, said, are you preaching? Mid-trip or post-trip. I said, I'm leaving when the church leaves.
Hey, man!
Hey, man! You know all the inner marathon, you know?
Yeah!
The inner marathon.
Come on! Hallelujah! Come on! Come on!
I ain't been able to do that. Don't seem to affect my wind too much. I'm going to get in top shape to hold a Bible before this thing's over. I said, they didn't get saved then. And kept preaching till the snow got to falling. Walking that 4 miles every day besides shaking them peanuts seemed like giving me strength. got preaching. Jesus come to the meeting. Had a few words, didn't seem to be too interested in him. But he come to that. Got up himself. Walked right out of death itself. The napkin off his head. Folded up and laid it down. Them fellas out there on guard, if anybody shows up here, they're dead. Wouldn't even ask them who they are. Just kill them. It'll be them 100 disciples. That'll be who it is. Them fellas went around praying for sick and getting sick healed.
Yeah.
Even forget to take off and Ralph never even take off. Didn't even. That's them 100 fellas been walking through the country. Straightening all these crooks out and getting these people healed. Feeding the hungry, cheering the sad. That's who it is. And kill them if they show up. That'll be who it is. But somebody showed up they hadn't seen before. What's your name? I'm Gabriel. Gabriel. Say it again. Who? Gabriel, my God. Whew, Gabriel. You mean that angel that lives with God? Yeah. Earth was shaking, and them poor old fellas had them swords, didn't have the nerve of red worm. Angel got a hold of that big old stone. They took two or three. The reason they took two or three rolling away is grave robbers in like they is now. They're down in Oklahoma, and I get mad at them. You know, you've got a right to get mad if you behave yourself. Now, you need to learn now what the definition of the word mad is now. Huh? Was Jesus angry? He looked around about on them with anger. Ha, ha, that's all right, sister, if you come to church naked, God love you. Ain't he that?
No, sir.
Go around and make the preacher mad now. Amen? They had to take two or three to the graves. They had a stone that hewed out this grave in this rock and had a trough that run that stone in some time and rolled down there over that. You couldn't just roll it back and go in there and get the Indian arrowheads and keep sex Indians buried with them like you do now. They dug one up some while back and showed him his bones. What do you think, L.D.? I said, take it back. Where you found his bones. And put his bones back just like you found them if you can't. And cover them and don't mess with them no more. Don't fool with him no more. Hey, had grave robbers in. That's the reason they broke into the pyramids and robbed them graves for years. But big angel walked up. Of course, little one, just like a big one, they all got the power. They preach on strength one night while I'm here. I got a message working on my own strength. But you know what? Earthquake, angel rolled that stone back. Early one morning, about the break of day, an angel came from the glory world and he rolled that stone away. He rolled that stone away. And the keeper stood as dead men. Speak. Talk. Walk. Get out of their senses. When they found them and tried to interview them, what's happened here? Tell me the story. What took place here? Ain't it easy for God to stop the devil when he wants to? Old preacher friend down home, an old boy come up flashing his muscles and said, I'm going to whip you. I'm going to whip you. He said, you want me to lay down? God didn't send spineless wonders to preach the Bible.
Sir.
He just sent me and he called and
yes,
go out and tell the world. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. I'm not going to try to get him out of the tomb. Let Bob get him out of the tomb for us this morning. But I'm just interviewing him a little. And we've got to. Why did it get dark? And did they realize they'd crucified the Son of God? Yes, they did. It finally dawned on them. We've killed God's Son. They crucified him, is my text this morning. That means to nail your hands and feet to a cross. The reason they whipped him was because it was prophesied they bruised him. He's bruised.
Yes, sir.
Bruised for our iniquity. You ever been bruised? You get the right kind of a stone bruise on your foot and you'll be walking different for a long while. You get over that. If it festers in there, Bob, next to that bone, you'll have to have that open to get that on. But they bruised him. They bruised him. They bruised him. Cut his side open. Put the nail prints in his hand and feet for me and you. He's God's Son. There'd been a lot of people die. There'd been a lot of people crucified. But there was only one called God's Son that was crucified. And there was only one that was crucified for the sins of the world. That was God's only Son. I asked him, how did you go away? And we look at the book of Acts. The first chapter of the book of Acts. He talks to us a little. I'm going to close out here pretty quick. Acts 1 and 9, the Bible said. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Now that's after appearing for 40 days to them. Pardon me, God help me. I need to sharpen up home language. I start to ask after everybody's dog had seen him, but I ain't what it is, but a whole bunch of folks saw him. I start to say that's after everybody's dog had seen him, but I didn't mean to be crude to have it anyhow. It may be rude to say crude, you know, it could be, but everybody in the country had seen him nearly. And Sanhedrin was driving the wall. They'd have a closed door meeting around saying, what are we going to do next? Old Joseph come in a while ago and said he met him down at the corner of First and Main. Said he's just walking right across the street like he did when he's healing the sick and raising the dead. That's got to be him. Ain't nobody walks like him. Ain't nobody talks like him. He ain't got a beard or long hair like a lot of folks thought he had. And he ain't got them silly looking eyes that some of these hippies painted in him. But he's God's only Son. He's got those piercing eyes that condemn sin and evil. And ain't nobody ever walked streets like him. That's him coming. That's him going. He's seen him every day for 40 days. All I need is two or three good witnesses in court. I mean, two or three good ones, all I need. That's all I need, two or three good witnesses. I don't need no more to win the case. If I can got two or three good witnesses,
that's right.
That's all I've got to have. Above 500 brethren saw him.
That's
God would convince any court that's ever been since they've had court. Right. How many witnesses says they seen him since he's killed? One, two, three, four. You have bailiff, help count one. Secretary, you help count one. Two. Lawyer, you help count one. 295, 96, 97, 300, 301, 300. Case dismissed! 500 witnesses says they know who he is. Bound to be a good portion of them got good sense out of 500. Bound to be a good portion of them got good sense. They saw him. Who is that man? You said you saw down for the sea. Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. The blind man healer. If you don't believe for nothing else, believe for my work's sake. You're sitting out here this morning, and you having trouble believing there's a God, or believing in God, or believing in Easter, or believing in Christ, the power of God. Look here at this, would you? Believe for the work's sake. Pick up things like me and these other boys and wash them white as snow. Well, I never had to take no alcoholum or no smoke, no more tablets. There's an old boy out in California who's making a fortune. Woo! He's made millions already. I could save folks a gob of money. I mean, I could save you a gob of money. You could put $100 in this morning. I ain't talking about for me. I mean, in this church, you could put $100 in this morning. No, you won't buy it. But just give God $100 just because you want to. And you just pray to God and seek God and get delivered from your coffee habit, your cussing habit, your filthy habit, your evil, and God don't charge you a dime. But you can go out. That old boy, I seen one come up the sidewalk the other day, and he's smoking a hypocrite cigarette, I guess. If there's such a thing as a hypocrite cigarette, that's it. You don't light it, and you don't light it. He sells from California. I forget what he's getting for him now. The prices went up. But it's about that long, about as big as your finger, about like a cigarette, and there's no smoke in it. And so I don't know what he's got in it. Compressed nicotine, I guess, or something that you don't light. I don't know what it is. But anyhow, you suck on this, and it breaks you from that. He just goes up the sidewalk. No smoke or nothing. Of course, I like that no smoke deal. I love that. I'm glad there's been something no smoke. But they're paying gobs and gobs of money. I mean, they send the money to it. Y'all, have y'all heard that up here? Y'all act like you never did hear of that. Did anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, goody. I'm glad somebody thought, maybe thought that's just. But you know what? They're ordering it by the gobs. He said his wife couldn't stand tobacco smoke, and he invented this, and it got him off, and he thought to help others. I don't think that's the reason he sent it out. It's making him a barrel of money. But I'm going to tell you, as one called Jesus, break all that stuff. Men come down to these altars, been dried out. Oklahoma come to all, been dried out, been sent off, been in institutions, done everything in the world. Our psychiatrist down there, one of them, friend of mine going to him, got to because he's under probation and he must go and appear so he can keep being told in jail. I said, there ain't a thing in the world, them fellas. Nothing. Do you hear me? Nothing. You may be one. God bless you. Sorry you got trapped. I will run you crazy listening to all that stuff. I know what I'm talking about. Finally, the old psychiatrist said to this friend of mine, Could you tell me what I'm going to do with my 20-year-old boy? He's about to drive me crazy. I say, you human just like the rest. You need Jesus. You don't need somebody to try to pry into all your past and get you to tell them things, get your wife to shoot you. We need Jesus is what we need. We need a bunch of men run their wives and tell them what all the women they run with and put that saddle on her and have her carry that saddle for years. Go to Jesus with it and get him to cleanse your heart and save and straighten out and shut your mouth. We're going to solve the world's troubles. We must have another conference. You get us with Gorbachev and the other fellow a time or two more and they'll have the whole United States and all our banks drained. That's a few more conferences
that's
with
right.
them.
That's what they're doing.
We need Jesus. Get saved good. You never did hear a fellow preach like this at Easter, did you? Never did myself, and it ain't so hot. But let me tell you one thing. There's never been a man like Jesus. I'm going to tell you, he can solve that problem. Amen? Amen? You come to Oklahoma. Church down in there, you're seeing, well, he may be gone. It's been a long time. See an old boy pick his wife up. When the power of God goes falling, right, it's got to fall real. I mean, a bunch of running around inside the church with a little bitty woman. Him running with. I said, that's just like out of order. I said, why you carry your wife like that for? I'll just do it when I feel especially led to. I said, just slobbery, drunk, hunted and followed them old hounds and hunted them coons and possums all night and come in 3 in the morning, beat her if she didn't mind. Me get up out of bed and far off the wood stove and cook some big old meal. Old slobbery drunks are slobbered in their plates and she'd get up and do it. Prayed and went to church all the time. I beat her and mean to her. I'd probably told her to left him. But she stayed with on me thing. Oh, see how she done it. I ain't telling everybody they ought to have done that, but she did. And one night he got saved. One night he got saved. Phew. And that's the reason he carries her. And that's the reason I run, because I got saved.
Hallelujah!
I never have run like this on Easter. I have an urge to challenge somebody for a foot race just for the glory of God. Woo-hoo! I'm going to have to stop, but I want to preach till it's breakfast time. I think that's what I'm trying to do. How'd you go away? As he talked to him, and they stand there. They looked steadfastly toward heaven. Two men stood by him, white appeared. He had appeared 40 days now. And they said, "Why, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as he's seen him go away." They said, on a hill outside of the city stood a group of men in despair. Cloud that day hid the Lord away as he rose into the air. Two angels appeared in white apparel saying, "Be of good cheer, my friends. Some glad day like he went away, he's coming on back again." I said, "Lord, how did you go away?" He said, "I moved upon my servant to tell you in the book, so I read it to you. As he stood there, a cloud received him out of the sight. He disappeared." And they said, "He shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go away." And this is something he told me. It'll startle you. It did me. And he said, "Your bones will rest beneath the sod before I return." That's what he told me, Ralph. He said, "Your bones will rest beneath the sod before I return." Brother Moore, you know when the Lord's coming? No. He didn't tell me when he's coming. But as I interviewed him and asked him when would he return, how would he return, he told me. Then he said, "And your bones will rest beneath the sod before I return." How long, I don't know. But that will happen to me. Do you know him this morning? Are you disappointed this morning? Is it a sad Easter for you? Let me get closer to you. It's pretty sad for me. My boys are still out. They need God so bad. Why do, Brother Moore? Well, I ain't going to do like Job's wife. Want him to do. He said, "Curse God and die." What a terrible way to die. He's married to a warped woman. Amen? That's crazy advice. You know what I use for a text on that, Bobby? Do it yourself. I used to go to school with an old boy. He's the best I ever seen. Didn't have the backbone of a redworm. I'd whip him, L.D. I'd fight him, yeah, but you ain't fighting him. And you ain't got the nerve to fight him. All you want me to do is fight him. Fight him yourself. One woman said, "I want to give her a piece of my mind." I said, "You'll be short a little bit then."
Sometimes if you treat me like that, I'd treat him like that. Do it yourself! Curse God and die!
I could have a fit like Job's wife tried to get him to have because I've got lost ones that's lost this morning. But that's not what we need to do. I could blame the church like some folks are doing. I travel amongst folks that some of them backslidden, lost out, and I tried to talk to them about, well, that old crooked preacher come through here years ago, and we had an old crooked Sunday school teacher. Well, hold it, I can write you a book on them. I know a bunch about that. But that's not going to edify you and get you to Jesus and get you saved or get you blessed to harbor those things and think about that foolishness. The thing to do is come up where Jesus is.